Amen.
Come on, Mike.
Put it.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hope everybody's had a great weekend.
Yes, sir.
What a beautiful place.
Yeah.
What a beautiful garden out there.
Yeah.
I want to come back when they've got all those lights turned on. If you got to go, how many got to go around in the garden over there? And yeah, and that's a nice spot.
Yeah.
So whoever chose this place, thank you very much.
Yeah.
You did a great job. And I was just again, amen. I do want to say thank you to just everybody that hosted and worked so hard and served. And then I want to say thank you to the, you know, you guys say the Alloways. I'm so used to saying the Alawayes. But anyway, whoever they are, thank you to them. And to the elders for inviting us to come. It's a real pleasure to come and to be with y'all and just to be able to share the weekend together. And yeah, so we've had a great time, and I hope that our marriages are going to be different because of this weekend.
Amen.
And that we're going to go home and we're going to communicate and we're going to just have wonderful sex. I hope it's only married people in here, but good. I'm looking at the crowd's a little bigger today. Like, who's sneaking in here? Anyway, we're going to go in and we're going to go home and have great communication, great physical intimacy, and then, you know, yesterday the brothers, we talked about our finances. We talked about rules of engagement and how to disagree in a godly way and, you know, gave a whole list of scriptures on that. We talked about purity. I know the sisters talked about some other things. It was a great time. But please don't let this just be something you agree with. Take it home. Remember the promises that you've made. Remember the things that you've talked about. And go home and continue to focus on your marriage and put fences up in your schedule that this is time where we're going to focus on the two of us here. We're going to turn that thing off and turn that thing off and hang that thing up. And we're going to just focus on being close to each other. And that this will be a time that really impacts our lives and helps our marriages to be stronger. Amen. What, you know, the title is about marriages that attract the world. And that's an interesting title because in a shallow way, there's marriages that we think of, you know, and that are very attractive in some ways. You know, we're watching, you know, Tom Cruise and what's her name? And I think they divorced. Yeah, they did. And then, you know, Brad and Angelina or whatever. Or there's these, they're not even married. Yeah. Well, that sort of makes my point. And that is that what is attractive in the world, people like looking at pretty people. So these people get a lot of attention. And yet what's attractive in our lives is something very different. And what Christ promises in our marriage is not that you're going to look like Brad or Angelina necessarily, but that our marriages are going to reflect the glory of God in our lives. And that's a powerful testimony. When people see that, it's very powerful. Marriage is something that most people have an extremely difficult time because we're so selfish. We're raised to be selfish in America. We're very much me first. And so that's why our marriages are struggling so much in our country. So indeed, a lot of people never even will get married. And those that do, half of them are divorced by the 10-year mark is the current statistic. And so today, when we look out on this group, you need to recognize how wonderful it is to be able to, that you've learned how God wants our marriages to be.
Amen.
And that's why we're all together still. And that's a beautiful thing. And yeah, there are divorces that take place in our church in San Antonio. We've had a few. But like I said the other day, nothing like what it would be like in the world. And I praise God. I don't know where we'd be if it weren't for Jesus. And I shudder to think about where we would be. And we have a long way to go, and we're gonna continue to grow in our marriage as we move forward, 32 years now, and as we head toward, you know, 40 and 50 and 60 years, whatever, amen. But I'm just thankful for all the light that Jesus has shined into my life. A lot of thanksgiving there. Amen?
Amen.
A guy, I'm not much of a... I mean, I don't know all the artists necessarily, but one of the most famous violinists in the world is Joshua Bell. And so what they did was they did a little experiment with him, and they set him out in regular clothes with his multi-million dollar violin, but sat him out in La Fon Plaza in Washington, D.C., and just had him open his violin case and perform. Now, this is a guy who earns $3,000 a minute when he's in concert. This is the best violinist in the world. And here he is sitting in La Fon Plaza in Washington, D.C., and he's playing. And these are intelligent people walking right by. It took an hour for somebody to notice that this was a couple of hundred bucks for one ticket performance going on right here for free. And people finally, after an hour, somebody caught on and began to go, wow, and people began to talk. That's how long it took. But he didn't draw a huge crowd. Listen, right is never decided by what is popular today.
Yeah.
And so what we have to do is we have to take home the biblical principles of building a strong marriage. We take these things home. They may be popular principles. They might not be popular principles in each given decade, but we take these things home, man, and we live by it and we praise God. Because you can put Joshua Bell out there and people are going to walk right by. The goal here today is not that you're going to go home and have a marriage that is in a fake way attractive to the world, but that you're going to go home and have a marriage that's a powerful light to your neighborhood, and that people look and go, praise God, that couple, they're really doing some nice things because of God Almighty. Amen?
Amen?
Turn over to Acts chapter 18. Let's take a look at a couple. We're going to do a little Bible study here. As we end the retreat, Acts chapter 18, we're going to do a little Bible study here about Priscilla and Aquila. And it says in verse 1, they're going to arrive here in Corinth, and Paul is. And after this, it says in verse 1, Paul left Athens and went to Corinth. There he met a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had ordered all the Jews to leave Rome. Paul went to see them, and because he was a tent maker as they were, he stayed and worked with them. Every Sabbath he reasoned in the synagogue, trying to persuade Jews and Greeks. When Silas and Timothy came from Macedonia, Paul devoted himself exclusively to preaching, testifying to the Jews that Jesus was the Christ. But when the Jews opposed Paul and became abusive, he shook out his clothes in protest and said to them, "Your blood be on your own heads. I am clear of my responsibility. From now on, I will go to the Gentiles." Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, as we dive into your word today, I pray, Father, you'll give us all deep conviction about Amen. Our marriages and about your scriptures. And I pray, God, that these wonderful characteristics that we're going to see in this couple today, I pray, God, help us to put this into practice in our
Amen.
Lives.
Amen.
We praise you and thank you for your word. Guide me, fill me with your spirit at this time. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
They come into Paul. Paul leaves Athens and he goes to Corinth. So there he meets Aquila, a native of Pontus. Pontus is northern Turkey on the Black Sea, who had recently come from Italy because of this persecution where Claudius had ordered all the Jews to leave Rome because of persecution and trouble that had cropped up in the city because of the preaching of Christ. So Claudius throws all the Jews out, thinking that he's actually throwing all the Christians out. And so what happens is that Priscilla and Aquila have to leave and come down to, and they land here in Corinth, and that's where they meet up with Paul. Now, Paul's a tent maker, as they were. They were tent makers, so he stayed with them. And every Sabbath, he reasoned in the synagogue, trying to persuade Jews and Greeks. So he stayed with them, and he worked, and he worked with them. And then, obviously, when Silas and Timothy came from Macedonia, Paul then devoted himself exclusively to preaching. I guess Silas and Timothy got a job when they arrived. So then Paul was able to devote himself exclusively to preaching. That's sort of how it works, amen. But one thing I see about this couple, and there's a lot here that as I look and as I think about their world, they were resilient.
Yep.
They were incredibly resilient. These people are refugees, are they not?
Yep.
They've come down from Italy. They're from Pontus. Now they were in Rome. Now they've come down from Italy, roughly a 600-mile boat trip across over to now where they're in Corinth, okay, in Greece. So they've made this trip. They've been booted out I don't picture them as being a wealthy couple. I picture them as being refugees who had been kicked out, and so they've made their passage back to Corinth. Maybe they were on their way back to Pontus. I have no idea exactly what they were doing. But this is a couple that's just arrived. You know, we did some of this in Africa where we were moving and we were going, and then, you know, we needed to move over here. There were times, I remember, with our 12 duffel bags, getting on the plane in Abidjan to move over to Kenya because we needed to go over there. And so off we go. And these people, here they are after this move, and I don't know, maybe they were living in a tent. I doubt they were living in anything as nice as anything you and I might have here today. And what do? Is they're just resilient.
That's right.
They're arriving, they're excited, they're focused on the church. They end up being great friends here of the Apostle Paul. And they're living. These are people that we might want to give benevolence to today.
Amen.
And yet they're not feeling sorry for self.
Amen.
They're positive, and they're excited about the Lord's work, and they're resilient, and they're outward focus. And this is really cool, and they're excited about planting this new church here in Corinth. Amen?
Amen.
This is what we need to have in our married group. There's got to be within us a resilience.
Amen.
I know that as we get older, we face struggles. And, you know, people like psychologists say that your toughest years are maybe from 45 to 55. I didn't realize. I wish somebody had warned me, okay? And because we face, as we get older, we face more and more challenges in life as they come our way. And yet this couple is resilient.
Yep.
Refugees, suffering persecution. You know, here they are in a brand new country. And yet they're fired up and resilient, and they become great friends with the apostle. If you understand what I'm saying, do you have that resilience? Or is your favorite song, "Nobody Knows the Trouble I've Seen"? Do you trade joy for complaining? I think sometimes we get mixed up and we feel like that this is supposed to be heaven. This is not supposed to be heaven. And we're going to be tested and we're going to be tried. And there's going to be difficult days and it's going to be hard. But our home is in heaven and that's where we'll rest. And right now God's training us and he's working on our hearts and he's working on our character. And we gotta stay resilient.
Amen.
And it's important for us in the church being all of us in the married group, then we tend to be the older, usually, not always, but older than the singles, certainly older than the campus, and of course than the teens, and we need to model that.
Amen.
Man, I mean, the last year, it got hard for me. I think I shared this on Friday, or I can't remember with the men or everybody. But when my mom passed away, and then my brother had the blood disease, and then my other brother had the stroke, and then my son had health issues, extremely. He had a heart condition. It was just, last year I just felt like if you were named Tolliver, you need to run because I am just bad luck. It was a rough year. And you know, it made me read scriptures like Adam and Eve. One child kills the other and then he's sent off. And I never thought, how hard was that? Being Adam and Eve. I just read, oh, well, they had some more children and but that was amazing. I look at David with the problems he had in his family. Or what was it like for Abraham to see Ishmael walk away? Or Samuel with his kids. And I just think, wow, the resilience of these people.
Yep.
It's tough sometimes, but it's over quick. We'll be home soon.
Amen.
But we've got to stay resilient.
Amen.
And there's not really most everyone in this room. There's a lot of people outside of America who would trade places with you in an instant.
That's right.
And never forget how much God has blessed you. And keep that Aquila and Priscilla. I'm about to say Ananias and Sapphira. See, you guys kept me up late last night. I'm talking. That's so. Amen. All right, no. That Aquila and Priscilla,
amen.
That resilience,
amen.
That's just an amazing thing. Amen? Amen. And then I'm gonna just make this little point here. I know some of us in the room, in my family, there have been situations where some have suffered, they've struggled with mental issues, psychological struggles. And I just want to say something that just, it's on my heart, and that is that The guy that produced Silver Linings Playbook, the movie, he said, why is it that when someone has a heart attack, we run toward them, But when somebody has psychological issues, we tend to back away. Why is that? And why is it that there's a stigma around someone that maybe has a chemical imbalance and something goes out of sorts here,
right,
but the fact that I have acid reflux, well, that's no big deal.
Right.
Why is that? And we need to, I just want to say something, that if you're here today and you're struggling with depression or bipolar, or you're struggling with you know, obsessive or compulsive, whatever, if this is where your battle is, or it's someone you dearly love whose battle is that, I just want to say, God bless you for your struggle.
Yes.
To me, some of my biggest heroes in Christianity are people who face these trials every day.
Yeah.
And they've prayed, Lord, please take this away from me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord, and the answer was no, my grace is sufficient. And the answer from God may be, there's not a cure right now, but you're going to trust me. These are some of my biggest heroes, people who have stood strong in the face of this kind of trial. And I just want to know, if that's an issue in your life, I just want to say, God bless you for your resilience. You're a hero for standing strong in that situation. And don't feel a stigma like in the world, but you have our admiration and our support.
Amen?
Amen. Something that's on my mind. Okay. Next, verse 3 here, he says, as we read, he says, and because he was a tent maker as they were, he stayed and worked with them. You know, I wonder how Priscilla felt about that. You know, we don't have a lot of room here, honey. You've invited him in. He always brings other people in with him. We don't have a lot of food. What are we going to do here, honey? But these guys are so hospitable. Their home, their tent, whatever they were sharing, they invited Paul in to stay with them. They probably had very little, but the little they had, they shared generously. The Bible says to share with one another and to practice hospitality. We need to be hospitable. I can't think of a group in the church that is more important than this group right here to be hospitable. Amen? It's a command, and these refugees practiced it. And if these refugees practiced it, then we can practice hospitality in our nice American homes. Amen? We need to get good at this, brothers and sisters. We need to bring in have the new Christians over. Have the people that recently moved into the congregation, have them over to our homes and sit down and eat. And we need to get somebody who's weak and struggling in the Lord, come on over to my place. Somebody that's young, you need to get those campus people in your house. You need to make sure those campus guys come on into your house and they get to see what an older couple, disciples, what that's like, what you guys are like, what you're facing. You need to, don't say, well, I don't have a nice home. Tell that to Aquila and Priscilla.
Wow.
I don't have a nice home to be hospitable like you were. Come on. We can do this.
Yes.
Well, Mike, it costs money. Yeah, it does. Well, Mike, I'm tired. Well, who isn't?
Yeah.
Well, Mike, I'm a lousy cook. Well, you know, watch that show, the Barefoot, whatever. You'll get it, okay? But we need to do this. Yeah, order out. That's right. Meals, parties. We need to bring singles into our home and reach out to them. And of course, non-Christians and all that. That's what we need to do. When we went to Brazil, I remember one night we went over, and one of the guys there, a very recent convert, this was way back, we planted that church there in São Paulo, and he said, come on over to my house. And we did. And we went out. It was about a 30-40 minute drive. Went to Gilbert's house and sat down. And he brought out some pound cake, and we were talking. It was a loaf of pound cake about this size, and there were four of us, and we were having dinner, and we were having the pound cake. So after about a half an hour, it was really great, and we had some tea or something, you know, whatever. I think it was coffee. It's Brazil. But then I whispered. My Portuguese was, you know, sort of whatever, and I whispered to the fluent American who was next to me, and I said, by the way, when's dinner? And he said, that was dinner. That was all he could afford.
Yep.
When we're talking about break bread, that's the only bread he had. That's all he got broken.
Wow.
Now, and I got an appetite. But I remember that meal not because of the small portions.
Yeah.
But I thought, this guy,
yep,
that's all he could afford.
Wow. Come on,
he had all of us over. What an incredible example to me.
Yeah.
You know, I got blown away when my mom passed away last year because I think we are loving, giving people. People who kept coming to our home with meals. Those of you that bring by meals, God bless you. Last year I was on the receiving end of that. When my mom passed away and the meals kept coming, it was just amazing. So many people served. It's just a powerful testimony. And you guys who are married, it's just, you are equipped for this.
That's right.
So I just want to call us to be hospitable. Amen. Let's go back to Atlanta or wherever we're from. Let's decide. We're going to be hospitable. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, great. Sacrificial. You know, they didn't have much, but they had them in there. You know, like I said, when Silas and Timothy came from Macedonia, Paul devoted himself exclusively to preaching, testifying to the Jews that Jesus was the Christ. Here's a church of five people. They've already got a full-time worker. That's pretty sacrificial, isn't it? Man, if we had a full-time worker for every five people, wow, that was sacrificial because they really wanted to get the job done. And, you know, they housed, they fed, they supported. And, of course, Paul worked but then he stopped working and preached exclusively. And it's with joy that they did this because the cause of Christ mattered to them. We need to be sacrificial married couples. We need to be sacrificial for the cause of Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. When you love Christ, you sacrifice for his church. And we're cheerful about it. And we're consistent about it. And it's an act of worship. And this is what we do. You know, we all have different, I heard in a church, there was one guy, he said, here's how I do my giving. And he draws a small circle on the ground. And he throws the money up in the air. And he says, now whatever lands in the small circle, that's what I'm going to give.
Wow.
Another guy, he drew a big circle on the ground. And he threw the money up in the air. And he said, whatever lands outside the big circle, I'm going to give. Another guy, he said, forget all that. I'm just going to throw the money up in the air. Whatever God wants, he keeps. And what comes down, I'll keep. But we need to be sacrificial for the cause of Jesus Christ. Deliberately sacrificial. I pray we begin with a tithe and go beyond a tithe. You know, a passage I love is in Luke chapter 6. We're talking about being sacrificial like they were. Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Give. I'll let you get there. Give, and it will be given to you.
Yeah.
A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Let's think about our sacrifice in the Lord and giving. Because God, here's what God says. You're never going to outgive God. If you give, it will be given to you. Why is that? Because you are a channel of blessing.
That's right.
God could make he could put money on trees, or he could have care packages arrive at people. But what he does is he uses disciples to get things done to help people. So he prepares good deeds in advance for us to do. Does he not?
Yeah.
He does. And so as we give, then he gives more. And as we are, if we are a conduit of God's blessings to others, then he continues to use us in that way. We need to give, because with the measure we give, that's the measure he's going to use with us. So when we were in Abidjan, and we were there planting the church years ago, and a care package came for Nadia, and she was one of the team members. And she opened the care package that came from the States, and inside the care package was one M&M. Because the guys at the post office had stolen all the Snickers, all the M&Ms. There was one M&M left. And Nadia got it. But the post office stole it. So what did Nadia call back to the States and say? Next time you send a care package, don't send it via the post office.
That's right.
Send it FedEx. Send it with somebody.
Yep.
Send it with DHL. And they never sent stuff again through the post office. We are God's post office.
Yep.
Wow.
Good deeds have been prepared in advance for us to do. We are the richest Christians.
That's right.
In the history of our faith.
Yes.
If you take from the care box that God intended for you to generously be giving to others,
yes,
There will be a conversation in heaven that says, you mean all that money we sent, they took it at the post office and it wasn't delivered to the poor? It wasn't delivered to the missionaries? It wasn't delivered where we to all those things we prepared in advance? Then we're going to stop sending. And we'll find another route. Give, and it'll be given to you. Don't give because, okay, now I'm going to get more here. But give because you love God and because you love the poor and because you love the work and the ministry of Jesus Christ. Amen? That's something to think about. Sacrifice. Fourth point. They're flexible. Like all the folks that did yoga. They're flexible. In verse 18, Paul stayed on in Corinth for some time. Then he left the brothers. I'm back in Acts 18. Acts 18, verse 18. You're thinking, point number four? I thought you were only allowed to do 3 points. No, there's actually a couple more here. Paul stayed on in Corinth for some time. Then he left the brothers and sailed for Syria, accompanied by Priscilla and Aquila. Before he sailed, he had his hair cut off at Cenchrea because of a vow he had taken. They arrived at Ephesus, where Paul left Priscilla and Aquila. He himself went into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. When they asked him to spend more time with them, he declined. But as he left, he promised, I will come back if it's God's will. Then he set sail from Ephesus. Oh my goodness. Moving again.
There we go.
So here they go. They're in Corinth, and now we're moving on to Ephesus, a couple of miles to the east on the western coast of today, what we call Turkey. Moving again. Are you kidding? This is their third city in 18 verses. On their way to Antioch, and they don't even make it. He leaves them. The apostle leaves them behind, and there they are in Ephesus. And instead of griping, they are faithful.
Amen.
They're excited to be used by God. They're not grumpy. They're not bitter. There's no rancor here. Amen?
Amen.
Do you come to serve, or do you come to be served? We need to be flexible like these people. Like Aquila and Priscilla, we've got to be flexible if we're going to win Georgia for Christ.
Amen.
If we're going to get the word out. We can't be people who go, oh, I can't move. I can't move to advance the cause of the gospel. Where is that? When is it now that we get so entrenched that we can't move or start a new Bible talk?
Come on.
If you're going to reach every zip code in the Atlanta area with the gospel, some people are going to have to move. If you're going to help out a weak situation, you can't say, oh, yeah, but I'm so happy over here in my Bible talk, I don't want to leave to go help that weak situation. What is that? We've got to be flexible. We've got to be able to move to help God's church. Right? Man, if we're going to go on a mission team, we've got to be flexible. If we're going to split our Bible talk, we're going to have to rise up and be flexible. We can't sit on talents. Some of us are very talented, and we do incredible presentations at work, and we know how to do things. But Bible talk, oh, I don't know.
Come on,
we got to be flexible if we're going to get the gospel out. I wonder sometimes in some churches right now, we have more ex-Bible talk leaders than current Bible talk leaders. That must change. We're going to be called to account for how we use these talents. Discipling a new couple. Driving your teens to the teen Bible talk. Oh, that's so much trouble. Oh, you'll wish years later that you had driven those teens to that teen Bible talk. You'll wish, could I go back in time when I was complaining and griping about one more teen Bible talk to drive those kids to? There'll be a time when you'll wish, wow, I should have gotten them there. I don't know the exact numbers of teens that participate in the Teen Act. Don't know the exact numbers. But every parent, get your teen to that thing.
Amen.
Get your teens to that activity. You'll be wishing later that you did. Get them there. Oh, but, you know, Friday night, whatever, this, that. Be flexible. Come on. Let's do it. Amen?
Amen.
I appreciate Nick and Noy Kirby in San Antonio because what they did, they came up to me after a sermon on Open Doors, and they said, I've been accepted. I've got a job in Austin. but I want to live. We want to live in San Marcos, Texas, and start a start a Bible talk there. That's what they said. Start a Bible talk. Whew! I was so excited. It was great. We went off, and because we did this thing called the treasure principle in our congregation, and people just wholesale repented in their giving, and our contribution in 1 month jumped from $13,000 to $18,000 per week. So the contribution went up $5,000 a week because everybody said, "Wow, I'm holding out here. I'm not being sacrificial," and it was an awesome thing. So what we were able to do was hire some interns. And we did. We hired a bunch of campus interns that got going on campus. Last week on campus at University of Texas San Antonio, the 75 disciples had 134 visitors at all the Bible talks, either in San Antonio or in San Marcos, whatever. I've gotten ahead of myself. We're able to start a ministry up in San Marcos. So now this last week, there were 30 visitors at the Bible talk at Texas State University in San Marcos. The adults are there, so we've got the adults and we got the campus and everybody loving one another, and it's a beautiful thing. Yep. And why? It goes back to because the church made the decision that we're going to give and we're going to be a channel of blessings, and then people got flexible and they made moves and they branched out, and God made a beautiful thing happen from that. You follow that? Because they were flexible. It was great. You know, for College Station, we sent a team over to College Station, and some people really stepped out in terms of their jobs. This isn't the greatest economy right now. But people went over there with several people, Vince and Roe and Clay and Megan and Donovan. And we prayed, and everybody got a job.
Amen.
So, boy, it's not a great job market. We don't need a job market. We just need a job. That's all we need. The market, others will solve that problem. But just, and God got everybody a job. It's amazing. I have sat down on mission teams in Africa where we circled up and we said, the wire didn't come through, because sometimes the banks grab the wire and I don't know what they do, invest it or pay some bills, and it takes a couple of weeks sometimes when you wire money. So we're sitting here and I've sat in a circle. We've sat in a circle and we've said, okay, bro, what do you need? Okay, well, I got a little extra here. What, are you okay? Okay, well, let's help this guy. Because we had to wait 2 weeks for the wire to arrive. We just got to be flexible to get the job done. Are you flexible? Impactful. Got a little quiet. We need some spiritual yoga going on here. Verse 23. We're coming down the runway here for the final 2 points. After verse 23, after spending some time in Antioch, Paul set out from there and traveled from place to place throughout the region of Galatia and Phrygia, strengthening all the disciples. Meanwhile, a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. He was a learned man with a thorough knowledge of the Scriptures. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and he spoke with great fervor and taught about Jesus accurately, though he knew only the baptism of John. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they invited him to their home and explained to him the word of God, the way of God, more adequately. When Apollos wanted to go to Achaia, the brothers encouraged him and wrote to the disciples there to welcome him. On arriving, he was a great help to those who by grace had believed, for he vigorously refuted the Jews in public debate, proving from the Scriptures that Jesus was the Christ. Impactful. They were impactful. What can you say about an Apollos converting couple? They were impactful. And I wonder if this was maybe God's plan. So they got left behind, and here comes Apollos down the road, and they showed him the way of the Lord more accurately. They were impactful. It's really great. Brothers, sisters, don't give up the dream of being impactful. You know, well, back in campus, whatever. No, right now, you are around people. Be impactful.
Amen.
I believe your neighborhood and your city is as open as your mouth is.
Right.
You can be impactful. Speak to people. Come on, speak to people. And you can have an impact. In our congregation, Brian Hale, he's a dentist, and he made a decision a few months ago, and he said, man, I need to repent of my evangelism. And he's a dentist, and he said, got a very busy practice, but he said, I'm not going to leave a restaurant, I'm not going to leave a store anymore without sharing with somebody about Jesus.
Come on, bro.
He hadn't had a Bible study in like over a year or something. So he got all these cards in his pocket,
So he just said, I'm gonna pray and that God will be with me and that I'll have courage. And he just started talking to people. Within a couple of months, he himself had 4 Bible studies.
Amen.
And he had 10 other men that he's going around the fellowship going, can you help with this guy? Can you help with this guy?
Amen.
Why? Because he just decided he's gonna have impact.
That's right.
Amen.
So I'm gonna be honest.
Yeah.
Come on now.
Because we all know each other.
Yes.
But here's what kind of happens sometimes.
Come on.
We say, well, those campus guys, they're great with the evangelism.
Mm.
But I'm older, and nobody knows the troubles I've seen. And I don't have time for that. I'm just really busy, and I'm really stressed. And some of that's true, and you do have a lot on you. But pity the children who grow up in a church where the married people have stopped sharing their faith.
Come on, guys.
Come on.
Pity those children.
Yeah. Yeah.
Come on.
Who have to look at the campus youngsters.
Yeah.
For an example of faithful evangelism.
Come on now.
You can share your faith.
Amen.
You're not that tired yet. You can be like this married couple.
Right.
And you can have an impact.
Amen.
No, you're not maybe going to have the umpteen visitors like maybe campus guys can. We all understand that. They may not get it, but we understand that. We've been both places. But you can share your faith,
That's right. You
can have people come.
That's right, man.
You absolutely can.
That's right.
And some of us, we get comfortable just going in and out of Home Depot, not talking to anybody.
Mm-hmm.
We get comfortable going in and out of a restaurant, not talking to anybody.
Yeah.
That hurts the church.
Amen.
Come on. If you've been around the longest, then you need to be showing the way for these people.
Amen.
So, now maybe everybody here has visitors all the time, and I'm wrong, then amen. I'll amen. But I have a feeling there's people right now that you know, that's right, Mike, and my best days were years ago. Some of us in here, we haven't brought a visitor to church in over a year.
Come on, Mike.
We need to change.
Amen.
For our heart, for the lost, and for the children in our congregation, we need to make a change and be impactful.
Amen.
One guy that I always admired in Johannesburg when we lived there, Dennis Zimmerman, engineer, aviational engineer. He worked on helicopters. He wasn't a vivacious person. He wasn't the life of the party. Quieter guy, good basketball player. I always lost to Dennis. I'm still bitter. Just quiet guy, gentle guy. But Dennis would he'd be talking, and before long he's in a conversation with somebody, and Dennis brought people to church all the time. And brought people to a decision all the time. My wife, she's much better at talking to people. It amazes me. We're standing in line at a store. She's already in a conversation. My kids laugh about it. It's like, how did she do that? I try to talk to the guy next to me. What's the matter with me? Wherever you land, okay? You don't have to be Richard here. Stand up with conviction. You don't have to be each other. You don't have to be Richard, okay? You can be Sarah.
Amen.
Or you can be somewhere in between. But you need to be impactful.
That's right.
I'm not talking about being loud. I'm not talking about being the life of the party.
No.
But you can be impactful. And I would say, for the sake of your own soul, stop going to restaurants and Home Depot and stop going to these places without sharing your faith.
Amen.
Go buy some Bible talk cards, some church cards, and start talking to people.
Amen.
And see the love of Jesus come back into your heart as you share that light. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. Great.
Amen.
Good. Last point, Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16. Greet Priscilla, verse 3. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus. They risked their lives for me. Not only I, but all the churches of the Gentiles are grateful to them. Greet also the church that meets at their house. They have a house now.
Amen.
Greet my dear friend Epaphroditus, who was the first convert to Christ in the province of Asia. I look at this passage, and now we're years later, and Paul's writing to the church at Rome, and he says to greet Priscilla, but what he says here is Prisca, which is a nickname. Their friendship is so strong.
Yep.
He's, you know, they're on like a nickname basis. Greet Priscilla, or Prisca in the Greek, and Aquila. Greet them. They risked their lives for me. You can, I sense the love and the emotion here. And it's not just Paul, not only I, but all the churches of the Gentiles are grateful to them. Because when you're resilient and hospitable and sacrificial and flexible and impactful, you may feel like nobody notices. And we don't do things to be noticed. But the other disciples, they see it. And all the Gentiles were grateful to them for the example they set and the life that they lived. And 2 millennia later, we're still talking about these people. It's amazing to me when I run into people that have been consistent all through the years.
Yeah.
Bob Stia, yeah, became a disciple in New York and went on to Kenya. And Joburg, I believe they're back in the States now.
Yep.
Every few years, they're where?
Triangle.
They're in a triangle. You know, and you see them and I see them and it's just, I see them and I go, wow, still chugging along here.
Yeah.
Faithful. Big family now, Bob and Santi. When I see John Hansen, who came from Boston to Johannesburg, on to Denver, I see his faith. Years, decades, he's still faithful. Greet John. Greet him. He risked his life in Johannesburg. Bob and Santi, these are people like this. They're right here in this room as well. The point is, just hang in. And it is true, perhaps the most radical thing you can do is to be consistent. So that when it's all done, and we all go home to heaven one day, that just like this wonderful couple, we will leave behind a legacy of being resilient, hospitable, sacrificial, flexible, impactful, and consistent.
Amen.
And then we will hand this fellowship of churches, movement, congregation to our children. And then we can go talk to Priscilla and Aquila in heaven. Amen. God bless. Thank you very much.
Mike, thank you so much for your membership coming over.
Yes.
Like I said on Friday, I know you're a very busy man. And from the bottom of my heart, I'm so grateful that you've taken the time to come be with us. This has been a life-changing weekend. And I'm very thankful to God just how he's used you. And we are going to be different.
Amen.
I promise you that.
Amen.
Where do I even begin? I mean, it's just been incredible.
Yeah.
And I just want to say thank you. Thank you for being my friend. Thank you for being my big brother. I remember when you joined Sarah and I together in marriage, and at the reception, my mother was speaking on behalf of my family, and she said that she worries about her kids a lot, because obviously she knows she's not going to be on this earth forever, and I've lost both my parents. And I don't know if you remember, she said, but when I think of Richard, and I know that he's going to be with Mike, I don't worry.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
You're my best friend. I look up to you. I still want to be like you. And if you could please come forward.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
I don't know what's in here, but I'm already overflowing. Thank you from both of us so much for your kindness and your goodness. Thank you for taking care of my best friend right here. So, thank you.
You know, this has been a great weekend. And so many people walk behind the scenes. And to make this possible, first of all, I want to thank the brothers and sisters, you know, who helped us in the worship Friday night, Sunday morning, the band. You guys did wonderful. Last night, with the entertainment, Joe, you know, everybody that sang. We were not there, but we heard stuff. but I heard you guys had a wonderful time. Chloe Rao helping with registration, Judy Wimbush with the games, Deb Shanks with the games, Lisa Washington did all the goodies, and you know, she and Joe did the yoga Friday, was that yesterday? You know, all the ladies who went to the grocery store and asked for brown bags, you know, Roxanne Little with the dinner entertainment, Diane Knight also dinner entertainment, just everybody, you know yourselves. Brothers and sisters, can we put our hands together for all these guys? And, you know, what can you and I say about Tammy and George? I joke and I say, you know, Tammy's got more energy in her body than I have in my pinky. Guys, we love you so much. You know, when we do events in our church, you know, all I need to say to Tammy is we need this, 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 and she'll smile and go, I got this. Just like that. And sister, we appreciate you so much. Thank you so much for allowing us to come and enjoy this place. In a minute, I'm going to ask John Becker to be making his way forward. He's going to be doing the closing prayer. And many of you were very kind, you know, to send in your portraits. We did give a deadline because we had to put it together. And so we're going to end the retreat with a slideshow of all of us. And but before we do that, John is going to say a closing prayer for us. But again, it's been a tremendous weekend. I really pray that all of us as husband and wife will go back home. And all the things we've learned this weekend, we'll really let it sink in. And it's going to take weeks. I encourage you to go back and study all this stuff over. You know, Mike encourages brothers to sit down with our wives and study out all those rules of engagement. And Sarah and I are going to do that. I told her already last night. And I think it's going to take us a week to just go through all that stuff. Because, again, we want to make these things practical in our lives. We want to practice these things. And I really believe that if we do these things, next year's retreat, I mean, we're going to be bubbling with so much energy. And we'll be expecting, you know, again, what God is going to be telling us through whoever it is that we invite. And so I just really want to encourage us to really go back home and, you know, make this count. And I know that God is going to glorify himself through our lives. I thank you for coming. I especially want to thank the brothers and sisters from North River, from Auburn. Amen. You know, it's been great having you guys. Who knows, next time maybe we can find a big place and just, you know, bring everybody. Amen. You know, and the singles and the campers will help us take care of the kids. You know, so it's been wonderful just being together. I hope you've been encouraged. I hope you've been refreshed. But it's not over. There's still one more meal. Amen. You know, I know we're still full, but, you know, there's still one more meal. And but it's just been a great time. So what we're going to do is We're going to say a closing prayer, then we'll have the slideshow. After the slideshow, we're going to be dismissed. We will need to go check out, because we need to check out by noon. And then lunch is going to be back in the room where we're in. We've been all this time, and then, you know, it's done. Amen?
Amen.
So, John, we're going to say a prayer, and then we'll do the slideshow. Yeah, just the second one.
Yeah. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you are an amazing God, and we thank you so much for this weekend. Thank you, God, for using Mike and for convicting us the way you have. Yeah. Father, we are convicted not only in our marriage, but in our discipleship. Father, you've called us higher as you always do. But Father, you've not just called us higher, you've given us a way to get there. And we pray, Father, that as couples and as a ministry and as a church, that we will impact this world for you.
Amen.
Father, help us not to be religious. Help us not to walk away with just knowledge, but to decide to make an impact on this world. Amen. Father, first impact us. Help this to become conviction in our hearts, and not just simply another weekend of great lessons. Father, I thank you so much again for bringing the Tollivers here.
Amen.
Thank you so much for their relationship with the Alloways, for them preparing them for us, and the way that they lead our church. Father, thank you so much that you've made this weekend as special as it's been.
Amen.
Father, help us to continue to build relationships with each other in all the Atlanta churches and all the churches around the world. Father, again, make us people of impact. Help us to help our children, to show them strong marriages so that they can be impacted as well. We love you, God. Help us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Table, isn't it? That's not it. He's still cutting us off.